Good afternoon. My name is Karen Collin with CDC. Today I'll be presenting on molecular surveillance for markers associated with anti-malarial drug resistance among imported Plasmodium falciparum cases diagnosed in the U.S. 2012 to 2013. Malaria is a vector-borne disease caused by the Plasmodium parasite, and most morbidity and mortality are due to Plasmodium falciparum. There were approximately 200 million cases worldwide and over 500,000 deaths in 2013. There are approximately 1,500 cases reported in the U.S. each year, with an average of 4 to 5 deaths. Nearly all of the cases are reported, and half are hospitalized. Malaria surveillance in the U.S. has taken place since the early 1940s. It's the oldest surveillance system at CDC. It even predates the agency itself. Malaria is nationally notifiable. Cases are reported to CDC via state and local health departments. They may also be reported to CDC directly from healthcare providers who contact the malaria hotline for assistance with diagnosis or treatment. In 2012, surveillance was expanded from epidemiologic data to include anti-malarial drug resistance. Since beginning this new surveillance, we've encouraged states and laboratories to submit pretreatment blood for all cases of malaria diagnosed in the U.S. This analysis includes all specimens received at CDC for cases diagnosed in 2012 to 2013. The Plasmodium species was identified using real-time polymerase chain reaction, or PCR. Plasmodium falciparum species were then genotyped for genetic polymorphisms associated with drug resistance using Sanger sequencing and real-time PCR. We tested for resistance to chloroquine, sulfadoxine, pyrimethamine, mefloquine, etoveqin, and artemisinin. The sequencing data were then linked to the EpiData. We received 239 specimens from 38 states, and information on travel history was reported for 193 cases, with most having recently traveled to West Africa. This slide shows what species was reported on the lab submission form, along with what species was identified via PCR. The cells that are shaded green are where the two matched. Only 45% of specimens had the species correctly identified on the lab submission form. 48% of the specimens were submitted with the species missing or listed as unknown. And only 7% had an incorrect species listed on the form, which were then corrected via PCR testing. Among the Plasmodium falciparum positive specimens, 140 had genetic polymorphisms associated with resistance to pyrimethamine, 133 with resistance to sulfadoxine, and 82 with resistance to chloroquine. The next three maps will show you the resistance patterns by geographic region for pyrimethamine, then sulfadoxine, and then chloroquine. The countries in Africa have been grouped into subregions according to the UN Geoscheme for Africa. We also grouped Central America and the Caribbean together, and all of South America. The darker shading represents higher levels of resistance, and the number of samples tested for each region is listed next to the region. For pyrimethamine, resistance was high in South America and across the subregions of Africa. Pyrimethamine resistance in Eastern Africa was not significantly different from that found in the rest of Africa, likely a result of the small sample sizes outside of West Africa. Like pyrimethamine, levels of sulfadoxine resistance were high in South America and across the subregions of Africa. There were no differences between any regions or subregions. When we look at chloroquine resistance and compare that with the two maps that we just saw for sulfadoxine and pyrimethamine, we see significantly lower levels of chloroquine resistance in Africa. When we compared across subregions, 54% of samples from West Africa demonstrated resistance to chloroquine, compared with only 33% of East African samples. However, we only had 27 East African samples, and the p-value was 0.057 for this comparison. We also found one sample that had multiple copies of the PFMDR1 gene, which has been associated with mefloquine resistance. This individual happened to be taking mefloquine as prophylaxis, which then failed, preventing infection, or preventing, wasn't able to prevent infection, sorry. And he developed malaria, and we successfully treated with etobicoke pregnenol back in the United States. None of the samples tested had mutations for artemisinin resistance. Artemisinin resistance in P. falciparum has been mostly seen in Southeast Asia, so it's not surprising that we didn't find any here because we didn't actually have any falciparum samples acquired in Asia for this study. Finally, no pretreatment samples had mutations associated with resistance to etobicoke. However, two travelers developed post-treatment mutations. We have several limitations to this. First, this study only includes cases of malaria diagnosed in the U.S., and we also only received specimens for less than 10% of the cases that were diagnosed in the U.S. in 2012 and 13. As a result of the small numbers that we received, we really are unable to make to examine resistance patterns at the country level, which is why we grouped by subregion and region. Overall, we found that most specimens submitted to CDC had an incorrect or missing species annotated on the lab submission form. We also found chloroquine resistance in 51% of samples, with higher rates, or likely higher rates, in West Africa compared to East Africa. High levels of sulfadoxine and pyrimethamine resistance were found in samples acquired in Africa, which is consistent with field studies. Our recommendations are fairly simple. These findings highlight the need for continued surveillance to detect drug resistance and the importance of PCR confirmation. This information will help in refining prevention guidelines for U.S. travelers and treatment recommendations for imported malaria in the U.S. So we strongly encourage health departments, providers, and labs to submit pre-treatment to CDC for both PCR testing and drug resistance testing. I'd like to thank my co-authors.